Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Welcome to the cafe. Welcome to the program. Pastor Clark Covington here with another episode of KJV Cafe. Lord willing, we are wrapping up Genesis 12 today. It's been such a pleasure going through this chapter and just having you listen. I thank you so much for joining me. Amen. I may not know you, but I do appreciate you so much for tuning in and being part of this ministry. And as I've said many times, I believe this is the Lord's calling on my life, simply to teach this Bible on the radio, podcast, video, wherever he calls me. But I believe that's what the Lord wants me to do. So I thank you for being part of it. And look, I'm going to read our verse and I'm going to ask you a question. Genesis 12, 18 through 20 is our passage here. More than a verse, a passage. Genesis 12, 18 through 20. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou, she is my sister? So I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore, behold, thy wife, take her and go thy way." And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife and all that he had. So we see here a bad situation. I mean, can you imagine Abram being in front of the king? He's probably fearing for his life at this point. He has been found out that he told somewhat of a lie. Now, as we learn later on in Genesis 20, Sarah's technically his half-sister, so when he said she's my sister, it wasn't that she's not, but the part about him being a husband and him not mentioning that, that's what Pharaoh was pretty upset about. And Pharaoh probably didn't care so much for Abram. It just was the deal that God plagued Pharaoh and his household, and Genesis 12, 17 says that God plagued him bad, right? Great plagues is what it says here. Okay, so things have gone bad, and now Abram may be wondering, should he have ever left the promised land in that famine to go to Egypt when, you know, his fate there didn't look good? And again, probably was fearing for his life, though I'm sure God was clear with Pharaoh that the plague would go away if Abram left and was untouched and nothing was taken from him. But either way, it's pretty scary territory. And I want to ask you this question here. Has there been a time in your life where you've been scared, for lack of a better word, to trust God? Has there been something going on in your life, maybe the place the Lord is leading you to, and you're just not sure if you can handle that level of trust? You know, it's really fascinating, but I believe the Lord will allow us to be tested. The Bible clearly says that God will not tempt us, that God cannot be tempted and he won't tempt. Okay, so temptation does not come from God. If you want to know where temptation comes from, hey, look at the scripture there. I think it was in Matthew when Jesus is tempted by the devil. Okay, clearly that's where temptation comes from. I believe most of the time the devil and the flesh. But, you know, have you ever faced, you know, a trial, a test from God that you're just almost too scared to wrestle with or to accept, and you just turn to the world? Because for lack of detail in Genesis 12, we just have to assume that they're in the promised land, things don't look good, and they say, hey, we're going to Egypt. And we know Egypt is a picture of the world. It's one of the very first things I learned about the Bible when I started going to church, as Egypt is always a picture of the world. And so we see here, you know, Abram's like, hey, we're going, we're out, we're going to Egypt. You know, that's where we're going to be. And have you encountered something like that? Is that something I can think of times in my life? And I will be dead honest with you, because why not? There's things I still go through that I don't know how they'll be resolved, right? There are situations that I'm just trusting God for that would probably, you know, make anybody very nervous or I don't know what the word would be, stressed. And they may want to turn to some worldly resolution. And I guess what I'm saying is there's things that I've prayed about that I don't know how they get resolved, but I know that I'm trusting God. And I know that it's been some years now And I'm trusting God through those years. And I can say he's never left me down. And I believe that the promises of the Lord are true. And I believe that he has a plan. And I believe I shouldn't be going and turning to the world. And so, you know, there you have it. Maybe you're in a boat like that. Maybe that's something that's new to you, or maybe that's something that you've been going through. And we can look at what Abram dealt with and we can say, you know what? Let's trust God, because that got bad very quickly. And Abram's very fortunate that it wasn't worse than it was. But seriously, that was very bad. And we don't have to go to the world and make things worse for ourselves. There's so many examples in the Bible. The little church we go to now, they're studying the book of Ruth. And man, it's a good study. And it's like super detailed. We've been in this thing for at least a month or two, and talking about the idea that Naomi had left for Moab. And we know that Moab isn't popular in the Bible. Amen. And they went to Moab, Elimelech and Naomi, and that would be Ruth's mother-in-law. And then everybody ends up dying pretty much. And they come back there, Ruth and Naomi, the other daughter-in-law, goes off, but Ruth has that fidelity and stays with Naomi. And we see that they end up, ends up marrying Naomi's kin, Boaz, who ends up being with Ruth, being, you know, there in the line, very close to the line of David, amen. I don't know, I think it's like two or three generations. But yeah, it's very close. I'm trying to look that up. Let's see here. Yeah. So you have Boaz, Obed, Jesse, David. Amen. And it's incredible. And that was from going back to the promised land. And again, at that time, there was famine there when they left. And so it was a very similar story. They turned to the world, which was Moab, and things got bad. And so we just see this over and over again, whether it's in the book of Ruth, that it's bad to turn to the world, whether it's in any part of the Old Testament there, whether it's in the New Testament. You know, examples are literally fighting in my head to come out. But for time's sake, let's take a break and let's wrap up this chapter when we come back.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
All right. Thank you for listening. We're back here at it. And so we see here that in this passage of scripture, we have Abram about to head back to the promised land. And so Genesis 13 is where you've got Lot, herdsmen, and Abram's herdsmen fighting. And so they end up saying, Abram's so humble, saying, Lot, you pick where you want to go. I'll go the other way. You pick left, I'll go right. You pick right, I'll go left. And so you get Lot settling, pointing his tent towards Sodom, and you get Abram going on the other land. But then God's like, hold up, Abram, just take a minute here. All this land, yeah, to over there, over here, over there, it's all yours. Okay, so God promises him the whole thing, but he was, you know, very diplomatic and so forth. So we have this settling in there of the promised land very soon. But in the meantime, we're dealing with this expulsion, if you will, from Egypt by Pharaoh to Abram and to presumably, it's got to be Abram's wife, Sarai. I think that was very clear. And then Lot, and then everybody else that was in the crew, all the servants. And we know that he's leaving with much riches. And so we see so many lessons here. But one last one would be the idea of trusting God when things don't really look so good, because God never changes. And so we can look at this scripture and we can see that God more than likely did not want Abram to go to the world, and that God then was faithful to Abram to get him out, but that Abram probably put himself through a lot of needless trouble. And Hebrews 13:8 tells us Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And so if we just take this picture of like God's faithfulness and God's love, and then at the same time that God never changes, and so the same God that was leading and guiding Abram is the same God that leads and guides us today, and that the Bible says there's no variableness or shadow of turning with God, that if he is this consistent God, amen, that he is holy, so we should be holy, right? That he is perfect, that he is everywhere at all times, omnipresent, omniscient, all these things. He knows all things. He is perfect. He is wonderful. He is love. He is truly love. He was there at the beginning of the world. He is here now. He is from the end of the beginning. He is the great I am. He's Alpha and Omega, you know, from the beginning to the end. If that is who God is, should we not then seek his will every day in our lives so that we avoid going through hardship? Because God can still work it out for our good. I believe that Abram left richer because of Pharaoh in Egypt than he did before, right? I believe he left richer than he was when he went in, right? But still, not good to get dressed down and not good to repeat this whole thing again in a few chapters later. You know, he's going to repeat it again, the lie and all this other stuff. So we see imperfection in Abram. That's another beautiful thing of God's word, is the characters aren't like these superhero characters that are invincible and never make mistakes. We see a mistake here. But we see that God is dealing with us on a plane where he wants us to be faithful, that he simply wants us to live for us, that he wants us to be victorious. You know, Gideon was victorious with very little. And I had a bunch of notes from Judges there with Gideon, from Judges 6. And I don't have time to get into a lot of these notes, but what I will say is that Gideon, he really needed a lot of reassurance from God. He kept doubting God. He kept looking at himself and being like, how could this be me? And God kept providing examples. God kept providing answers to Gideon. God kept growing Gideon's faith, right? And I think we're seeing a similar route with Abram, where he's obviously doubted God by ending up in Egypt. And then he's obviously made some mistakes there by lying and so forth. But what he ends up doing is leaving and building an altar to God, clearly probably to repent and trusting God. He goes back to the Canaan land. It doesn't say he went back to somewhere else. It doesn't say he went back to Ur of the Chaldees or he went back to Haran. He's going back to where he's supposed to go. And so we see that his faith is building. And so as we trust God, or lack thereof, do things just off the cuff, thinking, well, you know, God, you don't need to hear about this, right? I know somebody that has a situation right now, and they are very much in the line of temptation, where they know, they can acknowledge that they are going to be tempted, and they understand their weakness, and they understand the idea that often we have to be still and wait, that God is asking us to be still and wait. You know, as I mentioned earlier, that there's things in my life that I don't know how will get resolved. I just know that God has given me peace, that he'll resolve it. And I don't understand it, but I trust him. Amen. And so as I trust him, my faith grows. As you trust the Lord, your faith grows. You know, Abram, who will become Abraham, becomes a mighty man of God. I mean, you go from this situation right here to him willing and trusting God to bring his son Isaac, the chosen son, back. He's going to stab him with a dagger. He's going to kill his own son. I can't stand to see my kids stub their toe. I can't imagine. And Paul writes, I believe it was Paul, saying that Abraham thought that God would raise Isaac from the dead. That's what he thought. Either way, he has incredible faith at that point, okay? So look, and he had incredible faith to travel to Canaan land. So it's not like he doesn't have faith, but whatever happened, it wasn't good. God resolved it, and now he's going to be back on the right track for a little bit. And what we see here is in our lives, hey, if we mess up, if we fall short, if we have an off day, if you will, God is faithful to forgive. God would much rather extend mercy over judgment. That God is more than willing and able, but we need to turn to him. We need to stop turning to the ways and things of this world for approval, and we need to turn to God. And that means we need to pray morning, noon, and night. That means we need to study our Bible every single day, ideally morning, noon, and night. That means we need to be on fire for God in a lukewarm, frozen cold, if you will, generation. I don't know if that can mix, but you know what I mean. It's not going good at a lot of places. The churches aren't getting more crowded. They're getting less crowded, or they're closing down altogether. So let's be a hedge. Let's stand in the gap and let's point ourselves to Jesus Christ and trust him and be still and know that he is God and not move to the world. Instead, trust him and he will guide us in profitable ways, even when it seems impossible. Thank you for listening. Take care. God bless and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow, same time, same place.